Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Game Trail Podcast. It's been a minute. I say that every time, but it has been a minute. I get that. I did recently hard commit in front of all my coworkers that I was going to be more proficient, more efficient, I guess I should say, in getting a podcast out at least once every other week. So I've made a commitment to those guys and I'm making it to you guys. And I guess if you make it public like this, I got to stick to it, right? So I'm going to get an episode at least once every other week. So you guys can look forward to that in the future. And hopefully it's helpful. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. And hopefully you gain some information that you can use in the future to help you find more success in the field. This week's podcast is going to be a solo episode. I want to address just a few things. I want to talk about some thoughts that I've been having. Talk a little bit about the hunt film that we just released, One Good Chance, which is a mule deer hunt that I did last year in Nevada in November with my bow. Maybe talk a little bit more. I know we already did a recap on the Big Hunt Guys podcast. I just want to dive in a little bit deeper and talk about what it's like to hit an animal and lose it, and just kind of some thoughts I have there. And mostly I just want to address post-hunt, the things I'm going to try to do differently next year or next time I get a chance to go hunting with my bow, to try to alleviate and not make that mistake again. Cause it's a terrible feeling. It's awful. I know that kind of my realm, the world that I live in is bow hunting, and I think about it all the time. You know, I think every day I'm constantly tinkering and shooting my bow. I'm constantly talking and thinking about bow hunting, and to lose an animal is not fun. I think about it pretty much every day. And I know that sounds dramatic, but I do. I think about it a lot, and I want to try to correct and try to do things that are going to help me in the future be successful and not have to deal with that feeling, because it's a gross feeling and I don't like it. And anyway, I want to talk a little bit about that, kind of address some of the things that I'm going to do in the future and some of the things that I think might have been, you know, cause or causation. I also want to run through some thoughts I have on, you know, post-vote. You know, I had a small voice, I guess you would see. I had the ability to host the podcast, the Big Hunt Guys podcast, and have Dan Gates on, and also the Howl Guys when we were in Salt Lake last February, which it's hard to believe that we're already creeping up on show season. February is just around the bend, and we'll be back at the Hunt Expo there in Salt Lake. I have heard through the rumor mill that we're going to have a booth this year, so you guys can stop in and say what's up. We're also going to try to do some podcasts while we're up there, and we've got a lot of people in close proximity that we can pull in and do podcasts with. So I had a small part to play in just getting the word out for Prop 1 27 and just getting people to vote no. You know, I have some thoughts about it post, and I just want to share those. So I'll dive into that in a little bit. But I guess before I get into those, and then I guess kind of the tail end of the podcast, I also did want to run through a list of gear items for the year that I used that I really liked. And I do that right now just because there's people that are looking forward to doing some Christmas shopping for, you know, loved ones. As we get towards Christmas, we also have the Black Friday sale coming up. And hopefully I can give you guys a heads up on some gear that you might be able to purchase for yourself or for a loved one that I think you'll like. So I'm going to run through kind of my gear of the year, I guess, if you will, towards the tail end of the podcast. Before I dive into those, I'm going to hit you with the promo code. You can use the promo code GAMETRAIL. That's GAMETRAIL. You can sign up for a Go Hunt Insider account. And if you do that, we're going to give you $50 back into the Go Hunt gear shop. You can also use that promo code GAMETRAIL when you're shopping in the gear shop if you're already an insider. And we're going to give you 10% off on most items in the gear shop. So you can use that promo code GAMETRAIL. Now's a great time to sign up for an insider account. Hard to believe, but we're already in research season. We had a meeting internally the other day with Brady and the guys and started looking at the upcoming application strategy articles that we'll be releasing in the spring. And it's going to be a busy spring. It's going to be a heavy lift, but there's definitely some movement. Colorado going to a draw system for all archery elk tags in the state for non-residents is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. There's also, you know, rumor mill working. I saw a release yesterday from Colorado, and it looks like in 2028, they're probably going to change up their draw system. Looks like their new draw system is going to more closely resemble Utah's, where they would give 50% of the permits for any given hunt to the people with the most points that apply. And then 50% of those would be randomly allocated with your bonus points or your preference points, I guess, in that situation, giving you increased odds of drawing one of those random permits. And so there's movement. Things are constantly changing. And I think that's why it's really important that you have an insider membership and that you pay close attention to these research articles when they come out in the spring before the draws, so that you can continue to make the best choices for your applications every single year. And, you know, hunting in the West is really about applying and have a multi-state strategy. It's like beating a dead horse for me to say it, but really, if you want to hunt every single year, it's totally doable, but you've got to play the game. You've got to apply in multiple states. So I guess the long and short of it, get yourself a insider research account. It's going to cover everything that you need to know to help you stay in the game, help you draw permits, and get you a chance to go hunting every fall. Also, Matthews Archery, sponsor of the podcast. I think you guys are going to be excited of what's coming out on the 19th of November. So this podcast will drop before then. I can't say too much, but I will say, I think if you like the lift, which I did, absolutely loved it, I think you're going to like this year's bows. Hopefully I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this, but there's, you know, some advancements that I think it's going to help folks that want to work on their bows at home. I think you're going to dig that. I also think for people kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum, I think you're going to find a bow that's going to work for you. Man, now I'm questioning if I should be okay saying this or not, but hopefully I'll be okay. I assume the guys at Matthews are going to let me know if I overstep my boundaries, but I think you guys are going to be stoked. I would highly advise you 19th or close after, get yourself to a Matthews Pro Shop and get a chance to shoot the new bows, because I think you're going to like them. I know that I was certainly impressed. You know, I love Matthews bows anyway. I love to shoot, and it's been fun to have that new bow out in the field already this year and shooting it. So it's a shooter's bow. If you like to shoot, I would highly suggest check it out. With that, so let's dive into just some thoughts. I'm going to address the Prop 127 first. So I guess the thing I just wanted to say is I appreciated everybody's ability to unite and the grassroots effort that everybody kind of put together to get that, I guess, to knock that down. So no vote, right? So it didn't pass. And I think the cool thing about it is we saw different niches of the hunting community getting together for, you know, mountain lion hunting and bobcat, you know, trappers or hunters. There's a lot of us that'll never hunt lions or trap bobcats or hunt bobcats. I myself have only ever hunted mountain lions one time. I would like to do it probably again in the future, maybe a time or two. But reality is I'm not going to raise dogs. I'm not going to, you know, avidly pursue mountain lion hunting, but I have a lot of respect for the individuals that do. I've been pretty vocal. I know some people that own hounds and have worked really hard, and it's a tradition for that family or those families, and it's their way of life. And I have a lot of respect for them, and I would love to see their way of life and that lifestyle continue. I'd love to see them have the ability to mountain lion hunt. And, you know, even above and beyond that, it just goes to backing hunting rights in general, and then also just sound wildlife science. So it was really cool to see everybody come across, you know, party lines, if you will. It's funny, in hunting, we can be so tribal. You know, we can argue about things like crossbows, or, you know, you're a private land hunter or a public land hunter only, and we can bicker about that. Even camouflage, which, as I say, camouflage, you know, solids are the new cool thing. And, you know, people will bicker back and forth about that. And reality is we all love to hunt, right? Whatever it is that we like to do. I like to bow hunt. I like to rifle hunt too. it doesn't matter the species, doesn't matter the weapon. And I don't care if you hunt on private land, as long as you do so legally and ethically. I don't care. I just want to see our ability to continue to hunt and fish and the ability to pass that on to future generations. I just want that to continue. And I think we've got to be more united. And it was really cool to see everybody come together. And I love the grassroots of this, you know, all the people that were just emailing or, you know, sending text messages to friends and family in Colorado, all the signs that I saw, you know, that people had in their front yards that people were posting on social media. You know, the rally at the Capitol that Brady and I went to was really cool. It was fun to stand on the steps of the Capitol, be a part of that group, to feel the passion. And that's really what comes through. And I guess I also wanted to give a hearty thank you to Dan Gates. The guy is incredibly passionate. He's well-spoken. I think I've said it before, but he's the right man for the job. And I know that that doesn't come without a cost to him and his family. I sent him an email after the vote was tallied and it hadn't passed. And I just wanted to send him a thank you, a personal thank you to him and his wife, Karen. And I know that those folks have worked really, really hard. And I just wanted to echo and offer my own personal thank you to those guys, because I think they've done a phenomenal job. And, you know, he's passionate, you know, genuine. And I love that about Dan and his wife. So congratulations to them, to all of us. And I hope we keep that in mind, because it's not going to go away. There's going to be something else. You know, I could dive into rabbit holes further on in this podcast of other issues that are already popping up. And, you know, we probably will on the Big Hunt Guys podcast. There's a few things that are already coming to light that are, you know, potential impacts to hunters, specifically to public land hunters. So there's always going to be something. But I would tell people, just retain that feeling of, you know, unity, and, you know, take it into account of what we can do if we all stick together and we're all, you know, passionate and we all show up and we all do a tiny little bit. So again, I just wanted to touch on that. And yeah, just a hearty congratulations to everybody involved. Next thing I want to talk about. So I want to talk about the film that we just released, which was One Good Chance. So if you watched that film, I appreciate it. I've had a lot of messages that have come through that people really enjoyed that film. I don't know that I deserve any of that credit, to be honest. I'm just a dummy that likes to bow hunt, and I was just out bow hunting and doing my thing, the thing that I love. Really, I think all the credit has to go to Luke Dusenberry, who I thought absolutely crushed the videography and the edit. The guy is super talented and just a genuine, really nice guy, just a good human being. And I really liked hunting with Luke. So, you know, make sure if you send me a note, you know, send him a note, because I think really all the credit goes to Luke. I thought he did a really awesome job on that film. If you watched it, you'll know that kind of, I've seen a lot of comments, people saying that it's a roller coaster. And I, you know, they're saying that because, you know, midpoint in that hunt, I found a buck that I really wanted to hunt and kill. Really nice buck, not a giant by any means, but a great buck. He had some extras and, you know, the best buck I'd seen. And I really liked that buck, and I really wanted to harvest him, take him home. And, you know, I had some chances at him, had some close calls, and as it worked out, I was able to get him, you know, relatively close to he and maybe 12, 14 does one afternoon. And he kind of fed up to me. And as he was facing dead on at me, then he kind of whirled and the gig was kind of up, I thought. And I took a couple quick steps kind of to the edge, the crest of a hill. He kind of wrapped in underneath me. He crossed a wash and I'd ranged the wash, and I think it was, you know, 61, 62 yards. I dialed my sight and, you know, drew back and executed a shot and ended up hitting that buck, forward of his front leg. And he was maybe slightly quartering away from me. The arrow did pass through, and it kind of passed through just inside the, you know, the shoulder on the offside. I had a chance to look at the video, after it happened, and, it looked to me like it was not going to be a fatal hit. It just didn't look like there was any vitals that would have been contacted. And, anyway, if you watch the film, you kind of, you know, get the gist of what happened. But, The thing I really wanted to talk about, and maybe, you know, hopefully I can pass on some information that'll help you guys out. But one of them is just the sickening feeling. You know, it's a terrible feeling, and I appreciate everybody that's reached out that has said, hey, it happens, you know, keep your head up. I know it happens. It's happened to me, and I'm having a tough year in regards to hitting animals and losing them. And I appreciate the messages from folks that they've sent saying, hey, you know, this has happened to me, and kind of outlining your stories. I want to say that it makes me feel better. But it doesn't entirely. I don't know how to explain it. I feel like a failure. I felt like a failure when it happened. You know, I hate that I wounded an animal and didn't find it. I never want to inflict, you know, pain or harm on an animal. And, you know, like I said earlier, when I started, I struggle with this. You know, I think about it a lot, and it really bothers me. And ever since, you know, it's happened, I've been trying to think and work through, what are the things that I can do to potentially alleviate this issue in the future. And one of the things I've been thinking about is equipment. Is there something that I've been doing differently, you know, in the last year and a half, 2 years, that I was not, you know, that I was doing differently? Like, is there a different piece of equipment, a different process that I've been doing? And, you know, as I've been thinking about it, I went a lot of years without ever having any issues with hitting and wounding, you know, animals. I made some great shots and I had some good results. And when I was comparing my equipment selections from those times to, you know, this last year, one of the major differences, I think, is the release that I use. So the last couple of years, I've been using a thumb button release, and I can go to the range and I can shoot a thumb button really well. I can shoot it almost identically to the way I shoot a hinge release when I'm at the range. And I felt like in, you know, the mistakes I've made this year, I don't necessarily think that I made bad, you know, rushed shots, if you will, or that I was feeling super anxious when I made those shots. I don't really necessarily feel like I punched the shot. But in comparing those, I know that, for a lot of years, I just didn't have issues with the hinge. And as I got to thinking through, you know, kind of weighing out the feeling of shooting a hinge versus shooting a thumb button release, I think one of the things that I've come to realize is that I think a hinge release causes me to slow the entire process down. And I don't know if that's in reality, like if timing is actually different, or if it just feels different in my mind, my perception of the shot is different. I know when I have a thumb button release, you know, I can rest my finger on that trigger, and I felt like I've executed shots, you know, through, you know, kind of a relaxed hand tension, kind of that pull through process. But it's hard to say when you're in the moment. The one thing that I do know is a hinge release does force me to shoot that way. And that's one part of that. I think it just slows me down. And I think going forward, I'm going to go back to the hinge. So since I've been home from, you know, my last bow hunts, I've pretty well just switched over to the hinge, and I've just been shooting the hinge. I actually came home and bought two hinges from this last elk hunt almost immediately. I bought a Stanislavski hinge, and I also bought a True Ball Executive. I set both of those up a lot slower than I have previously. You know, my thumb button release has been pretty hot. Hinges in the past that I've shot those fairly hot. And I wanted to kind of learn to shoot again. I wanted to learn to control my shot a lot better. And so I slowed both of these new hinges down. And I've been playing with those and shooting them, and I really like this Executive hinge. And I think, you know, in the future, it's gonna be a difference maker for me. And it's not necessarily that it's, you know, a cure all, it's a magic pill, but I do really think that it causes me to slow down my process. And I think it makes me focus and execute a better shot. So that's one change, you know, I've been thinking about and working with already. The other thing that I've been thinking a lot about is just being much more calculated and being much more disciplined in shot selection. And I don't feel like I've taken bad shots. I haven't taken shots on animals that are exorbitant distances. You know, they've been within my effective range, you know, within 60 yards, you know, 62 yards on this buck that I hit. So, you know, it's a shot that I shoot often. It's a shot that I make all the time. So I don't think that distance was an issue, but I've done a lot more thinking about animal behavior and body language, what's leading up to a shot. You know, in this situation, this buck had already been a little bit bumped. He wasn't hard spooked, obviously didn't know what exactly he'd seen, but it was bad enough that he'd kind of run underneath me and got the whole entire herd moving. And then he'd popped up on the other side of the wash, but he was on alert. And, you know, I thought it was a shot that I could make. And, you know, there's probably a lot of times that I would have. I don't necessarily believe that the animal's body position or his reaction to the shot going off was the difference maker in this scenario, but it could have been. I think I just made a bad shot in this scenario. But this last season, it's really got me thinking about animal behavior and really trying to be much more disciplined in reading animal behavior, leading up to a shot, you know, picking my windows, maybe letting an animal, you know, walk out of range a little bit and reassessing. You know, it's really had my mind turning, and I'm moving into this next year. It's kind of one of my goals. I try to set goals for the next year, and it's one of my goals. I really want to be better about, you know, being more thought out, more detail oriented, and just more focused, more disciplined in shot selection. I think the thing is for so many years, I took shots, same shots on animals, that I made, you know, that the animal absolutely hit where I was aiming. I took that animal home in my backpack and everything worked out perfect. So for years and years and years, I've had really good luck. I haven't had any issues, but then this last year I've just really struggled, and I don't like the feeling. It's not a good feeling, and it's something that I'm going to try really hard this year to alleviate. And I think those are two primary windows that I can work in. Shot execution, so equipment, evaluating all my equipment, you know, evaluating my tune, evaluating everything that has to do with my bow and arrow, practicing as much as I possibly can. And then also trying to be more disciplined in shot selection and just reading the animal's body language and behavior. And I hope that it's going to make a difference for me, because, you know, the alternative is just crappy. You know, wounding animals is not a good feeling, and I hate it. So I wanted to touch on that. I hope you guys, have had good luck this fall. I hope you guys haven't experienced any of that. And if you have, you know, you need a shoulder to cry on, I'm here for you, I guess. I know what that feels like. And then, you know, let's all work harder to try to be better when we put a bow in our hand next fall. So let's do better. All right. I'm going to move into just some gear of the year. So these are items that I used this year that were, you know, either new to me or, oops, I just broke my desk, either new to me or, are items that I just continually go back to that I really, really like. So I kind of want to run through some of these. First one is the Go Hunt Basin Merino hoodie. So this is our own base layer that we developed in-house. We did the Approach hoodie and I liked it. I thought it was more of an everyday wear item, which is primarily when I used it. I felt like it was a little bit heavy for early season archery hunting. And we got with Kevin, our design guy, and we ended up coming with this Go Hunt Basin Merino hoodie. So it's a quarter zip hoodie. It's got thumb holes. It's 160 weight. So it's kind of middle of the road, and it actually feels a little bit lighter to me, which I like. The thing I like about the weight of it is it feels like it breathes better. It also feels like it dries out quicker. So I really like that piece. And I was pleasantly surprised, like super surprised at how good that thing came out. I've had base layers from all the top brands, all the different companies, and I've had a lot of them that I really liked, but I can pretty honestly say this is my favorite base layer. It just really fits and feels great on your skin. The overall makeup of this probably has to do something with the way it feels. So it's 81% merino, 14% nylon, and it's got a 5% spandex. So it's got a little bit of stretch to it. It doesn't shrink in my dryer like a pure merino piece does, which I really like. It's cut a little bit longer in the tail, which I like when you're sitting down or when you want to tuck that thing in. You don't have any issues with it. So check that out. Like I said, I was super surprised at how fantastic that thing came out. And it's really become my favorite base layer. So check that Go Hunt Base and Merino hoodie out. And we also have a crew neck long sleeve tee in that as well. Another item. So this is an archery item. I'm going to touch on some archery items at the end of the podcast as well. But I'm kind of an arrow junkie. It feels like in the last year, I've bought more arrows. I've gotten more arrows than I have in a whole bunch of years. It used to be that I would just stick with like one or two. One of the arrows that I was given, so I must say that I was given a couple dozen of these arrows that I was pleasantly surprised with, is the Black Eagle Focus arrows. So this is a micro diameter. It's a 1/6-6 arrow. Henry Bass, who works over there at Darton Black Eagle, kind of hit me up, but I've known Henry for a long time. I spent a long time at TAC this year in Salt Lake talking to him about these arrows, and everything that he kind of told me proved out. So straightness on these arrows, 0.001. And it's not just the center, you know, 28 or 29 inches of the shaft. It's actually the entire length of the shaft, which is great because it means it's an exceptionally straight arrow from end to end, regardless of whether you want to cut it from one end or the other, or if you want to, you know, cut from each end. It used to be with pretty much every dozen arrows I would get, I would cut from both ends to try to get the straightest part of the arrow, which is the center of the arrow. With this, these Black Eagle arrows, what I tried to do, and I wanted to do a little experiment, is I ended up cutting one dozen from both ends, and then another dozen I just cut from one end, and then I compared the straightness between the two dozen. And I can tell you, I didn't really see any difference. Which tells me that whatever they're using to measure the straightness in these arrows is pretty good, because they were a super straight couple sets of arrows. So I really like that. I like the nock collar in it. I also like the nock that comes with these arrows. It's a heavy duty nock. The fit on your serving is really nice. The only thing I'm not completely sold on these arrows is the insert system, if I'm being honest. So while I didn't break arrows, I did have some bend at the end. So it's aluminum insert. So it's an insert-outsert system. So you've got an outsert that sits over the top of an insert that's glued in the end of the shaft. And then you actually have a set screw. So there's a set screw that goes down in between those two and kind of marries the two of them together. The thought process behind that is that you can actually move the outsert around so that you can get better broadhead alignment. And I did find that to be the case. I felt like this is a dozen arrows that I could build. And normally when I might get, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 arrows out of a dozen that spun perfectly with broadheads, this one was more like 10. Super straight arrows, and with the ability to move the outsert around and then tighten that in with the set screw inside that, and then get your broadhead alignment going, man, they spun really, really true. I like the fact that they're a micro diameter. I wish the outsert insert portion of that was a little bit more durable. You know, it's about a 60 grain setup there on the end of your arrow. You know, maybe there's a potential to do something with you know, a titanium or stainless steel or something. But overall, I mean, it worked. It hit the intent of being able to align your broadhead with the outsert and get a straighter alignment. But I thought the durability, there's a little, you know, less than ideal. They're also spine aligned, so they actually print the spine on the arrow. I found, you know, going through a dozen and you paper tune every individual arrow, I found it to be, you know, mostly correct. There's always a couple arrows, you know, that are different, and you end up having to turn an auk, shoot it through paper. So I don't really care what brand of arrows you're shooting. I still think you ought to, you know, paper tune each individual arrow. So that's just at least my approach to it. But overall, I have really good things to say about that Black Eagle Focus arrow. I was really impressed with them, genuinely. Next up, so new backpack for me. The Kafaru Arc frame this year I've been using, and I've used a variety of bags with that frame. I've had a lot of people reaching out asking me what my thoughts are on the Kafaru frame and packs. And I think they're asking me is because historically I've used, you know, Mystery Ranch, I've used Stone Glacier, I've used Initial Ascent a little bit. There's not many, you know, top brand packs that I haven't used. Maybe Exo would be one. I guess I can give you my thoughts. My thoughts are that the frame is really nice. It's a really comfortable suspension system. The shoulder harness is super comfortable. The hip belt is really comfortable. You can pack a lot of weight on that thing without any durability issues. I do wish that the load shelf was a little bit easier to use. I wish there was something that tied the top of the bag to the frame when you make the adjustment with your load lifters, and you kind of, you know, put that into the tab. And I know that's probably hard to explain. You probably have to watch it on a YouTube video, but I do wish that there was a little bit, you know, just a little bit easier to use that load shelf, that meat shelf. But overall, really durable, super comfortable. And of the bags that I use this year, the one that I would tell people that you really ought to check out, and, you know, I give two thumbs up, is the Bedlam. So the Bedlam is a 4,900 cubic inch bag. It's got a spotting scope pocket, which I really liked. It was really nice to just be able to throw your spotting scope in the side there and keep it separate from the main bag. It's got a front-facing stretch pocket, which I liked. It's got two side stretch pockets. I really like the zipper configuration. So it's got a side, kind of front side zipper, if you will, and it runs the length of the bag. It makes getting into the main compartment of the bag really easy. That stretch pocket on the front is great for stuffing your gloves in or your rain gear, you know, maybe an extra bullet or two, which is what I did when I was out rifle hunting with my kid. And it's really a nice size for day hunting. The thing collapses really nicely for day hunting, but it's big enough that I think you could probably do 3 or 4 days backpack hunting out of. I was really, really surprised at how much I really liked that Bedlam backpack from on the Kafaru frame. So I would say check that out. No complaints whatsoever about Kafaru. You know, they make a really durable product, and, you know, they're expensive, but I think the quality shows itself in how good a pack it actually is. So, you know, give those a look. Some clothing items. So I've been asked a lot about clothing and layering systems. I got asked, you know, maybe partially made fun of, I guess, this year when we did a gear dump video for an upcoming elk hunt that I went on. You know, I used a lot of Stone Glacier gear this year, and I had a lot of people that commented on that video saying, oh, it looks like somebody, you know, got a bunch of free Stone Glacier gear. And I did. No bones about it. I got a bunch of free Stone Glacier gear. I did want to use it. I was very curious in how it would perform and how I would like it. And, you know, I can report back on it and give you some thoughts and some ideas. There's some pieces that I really like, and there's maybe a few pieces upcoming that I think guys are going to really like. So with that, I would tell you that one of my favorites is the Stone Glacier 206 pant. So if you're familiar with Stone Glacier and the pants that they produce, they've had the De Havilland, which is pretty heavy for anything that I would be doing. That's like a real late season. It's a heavy duty soft shell pant. Then they came out with the De Havilland light pant. That pant is a nice weight for, I would say, late September, maybe October hunting. To me, it still felt a little bit heavy for August and early September, maybe even into, you know, mid and late September, to be honest, these last few years. And that's where I think the 206 pant really shines. So it's a much lighter pant. It still has venting, which I liked, only it's not on the outside of the pants. It's actually on the inner thigh, which when I saw the pants, I thought it was kind of hokey, but to be honest, I think it works really well in dumping heat where you're probably, you know, building it up the most. I like the weight of that pant. One thing I like about that pant over their other pants is the fit. It tends to fit me better. The legs are not quite as baggy from like the knee to the cuff. And I just felt like it fit better overall. If I had any complaints with that pant, I would love to see that thing have two cargo pockets, one on each thigh rather than just the one. The reason for that is that it seems like I'm always looking for some place to put my phone and release, maybe some out calls. It just feels like I'm packing around too much, and it's kind of nice to have two thigh pockets. But overall, I really like that pant. I wore it on half of my elk hunt. So the first half, I wore the De Havilland light pant, which was nice. But again, I just felt like it's a little bit too heavy and it doesn't fit me quite as well as I would like. Second half of the hunt, wore that 206. And, you know, coming back from that hunt, I can tell you, I actually really like that 206 pant quite a lot. I get asked a lot about what pants I like, what kind of hunting pants are my favorite. I could tell you that my favorite pants are probably still the Fjällräven Cab Agile. The Stone Glacier 206 would be pretty close. I really like the Sitka. What is that called? I'm losing it. Too much talking. It's the Sitka. It's kind of an intermediate weight pant. It replaced the Apex, the Intercept pant. My apologies. So the Sitka Intercept pant, I really like that. I feel like it's a great weight for, you know, September and October hunting. Those are probably my three favorite pairs of pants. So if you're interested in my recommendation, you know, that's it for, you know, early season archery deer, antelope, and then archery elk hunting. So check those out. Another clothing item that I really like. So the Sitka Ambient 100 hooded jacket. The Ambient hoodie came out a few years ago and it was a pullover. So it was a quarter zip. And I really liked it. In fact, I don't know anybody that owns that jacket that doesn't love that jacket. This year they've got the Ambient 100 hoodie, which is it's a full zip. So it's kind of nice. You don't have to pull it up and over. It's just a full zip piece. It's got the hand pockets in the front. It's the same inner fleecy backing that the original Ambient had. And the thing I like about it is it just is warm for the weight. So it doesn't weigh a whole lot. The face fabric is super quiet. It's not the most durable face fabric, but it's really quiet. It's lightweight and it's warm and it dries really quick. So a lot of times you get those mid-layer insulation pieces in there, you know, like a grid fleece. And it feels like when they wet out, they don't dry very quick. Whereas I feel like these Ambient products, they dry really fast and they're lighter than like a historical, you know, grid fleece hoodie. So I love that. I would check that out. It comes in a bunch of different colors. It's 100 gram Primaloft Evolve active insulation on the inside. And like I said, it's got a couple of hand pockets, but I can't recommend that thing enough, whether it's for, you know, mid-layer for hunts or just daily wear around town. It's a really comfortable, great jacket. Couple other pieces. I always get questions about boots. So the last few years I've been wearing the Hanwag Makra Pro GTX. That's been a great boot, but I will tell you, I do not like the insoles. I made the mistake here of taking a relatively new pair out of the box and taking my kid on a rifle deer hunt where we killed a deer. I had the standard factory insoles, and by midday on the pack out, my feet were on fire. Whereas I have another pair of those boots, which is older. The soles are mostly gone on them at this point. I've been wearing them for 2 years, but those have an insole in them, got a cushion insole, and it's an entirely different boot. I love that boot. So if you're looking for like a 4 flex on our scale, as far as flexibility, it's a stiffer sole, adds a lot of support. It's relatively lightweight for what you get. It is also mostly leather. So I feel like the wear and tear on it is really good. I would suggest that Hanwag Makra Pro. GTX. It's a great boot. There is another pair of boots that I've been eyeing. I've tried them on probably 6 or 7 times at this point. It seems like every time I'm down in the office in Vegas doing a podcast, I grab a pair of these boots and I try them on. And at some point, they're going to come home with me. I just think it's going to make a great option. So that's the Kinetrek Bridger High. So this is a 7-inch tall leather nylon upper, mostly leather. They've got some cushion collar, which is comfortable around the ankle. It's also got a lace to toe, which I like. It allows you to kind of fine tune your lacing through the boot. And it's really lightweight. So I think a pair of those is only like 2.9 pounds. They're much more flexible than other Kinetrek boots that people might be familiar with, like the, the high boots. Man, my mind, I'm fuzzy. I'm losing track of names today. The Mountain Extremes. So if you're familiar with the Mountain Extremes, which are super stiff boots, these are much more flexible. And I think it's going to be a good daily hiker. I think it's going to make a really good option for archery, deer, and elk hunting. So I'm looking forward to picking up a pair of those. And like I said, I've tried them on several times and they seem to be super comfortable. I haven't owned a Kinetrek boot in a lot of years, but I'm looking forward to putting one of those back on in the future. And besides that, I think it's just a good looking boot. I think you could wear that anywhere you wanted and get away with it. You probably even wear that on date night without too much trouble. So check that out. Kinetrek Bridger High. A couple other clothing items. So I'm wearing a hat right now. This is our Go Hunt Stratus hat. I remember this hat being pitched to us by one of our e-com team members. And he was like, you know, we need like a traditional running style hat. So this is a five panel hat. It's a performance nylon fabric and the sides of it are perforated. It's got an opening in the back with a drawstring at the back that you can kind of suck in to get a nice fit for your head. And it kind of looks like these hats that you might see a cyclist or a trail runner wearing. And I hope you don't let that hold you back. But it's a super comfortable hat. It's been my go-to for hunting hats. It breathes really, really well. It's lightweight. We've got it in camo. We've got a bunch of different solid colors, green, black, and kind of a tan color. But it's a really comfortable hat. Hands down, it's my favorite go hunt hat. So if you're looking for an active hat, whether it's running or hunting, as you move into the spring, you get out to do some shed hunting, I would tell you, take a look at that Stratus hat if you're looking for a new hat or even a Christmas gift for somebody. Another clothing item, this one was paramount when I took my kid hunting. This is the Outdoor Research Cold Front Down Mittens. Y'all probably are familiar with just a simple pair of down mittens, which is what this is. Nothing crazy about it. No bells and whistles. It's just a good pair of down mittens for $75. It's a 650 down fill. They're plenty of loft and they're warm for the weight. So a total pair of those, you're going to be 4.2 ounces. Unfortunately, when I took my kid, I didn't get to wear those. He did. But if you guys have taken your kids hunting, you know that's one of the most common complaints, cold hands, cold feet. And I can tell you that he never one time complained about his hands being cold, and it was cold. So I would suggest you pick a pair of those up, whether for yourself or for your kids. A couple other items. SIG Zulu 6 binoculars. We talk about them a lot. I was really slow to come around to the SIG image stabilizing binos. Brady kept telling me how great they are. And they made sense to me. I got it, but I didn't really get it until I actually got a pair and I got a chance to put them to use in the field. I've talked about it before. I still think a Swaro or a Leica on a tripod is probably better if you're really sitting down and patiently covering an entire hillside or a lot of country. And the reason I say that is, one, I think they're a little bit brighter. I think that they have a little bit better edge-to-edge clarity. And I also think it allows you to glass more comfortably than you would with a set of these SIG Zulu 6s just off your knees or offhand. Now, if you put these new SIGs, Zulu 6s, on a tripod, you could definitely make a case for those because they're going to be ultra stable. I think where they really shine is spot and stock hunting. So spot and stock antelope hunting, when you're getting in close and you want to just pull your binos out to, you know, look at a buck as you're getting in tight. Or if you're archery elk hunting and you're calling in a bull and it's really thick and you're trying to pull your binos out of your harness and, you know, just scan to try to catch any movement of a tine or a leg as it's coming through the trees, these really, really shine. The other place that they really shined was this mule deer hunt that I did last year in Nevada, where it was cold. It was really windy. So glassing off a tripod wasn't that effective because the wind was just shaking you all over the place. So these allowed me basically to sit in my truck with the heater on, even with the truck running, and that image stabilization completely levels it out and allowed me to glass and cover a ton of country and look at a lot of deer, which I couldn't have done without those. So I think, you owe it to yourself to check out a pair of those SIG Zulu 6s. Those have really become irreplaceable in my kit. They're a great set. So go check those out. A couple more items I'm just going to throw out, cover them quicker. The Hilleberg Enon tent. I bought that thing maybe 5-10 years ago. I can't remember when I bought it. It's been a long time ago, but I'm using that thing more and more. I used it on that hunt in Nevada. I used it this year doing some deer hunting. I just find that is a really nice little shelter. It's totally bomb-proof. It's expensive. I think it's like $785, but I think if you buy the thing, you're going to have it forever. So if you're looking for a one-man shelter, that is super simple. It's one pole through the middle, and then you've got two stakes on each end. You can put two stakes on the sides if you want to on the vestibule side. It has a vestibule, which is really nice, but overall the thing is super simple and quick to set up. If you're going to use a tent, I'm pretty convinced that it's the go-to. I really like that little Enon. I have a lot of fond memories of climbing into that thing in Nevada this last fall or the previous fall and just laying there with a headlamp, reading a book, listening to a podcast, and just feeling cozy. So check out that Enon, Hilleberg Enon. A few more items before I wrap up. Yeti Go boxes. So the Yeti Go boxes come in a 15, a 60, and a 30. I've got the 30. We did a little video about it, and I kind of ran through everything that I put in my Yeti Go box. And this is an item that I never thought that I needed. You know, I just was like, oh, it's a tackle box for all the extra gear, you know. But it's become really handy, and it's gotten to the point where I just carry around my truck all the time. It's got all kinds of stuff that I might need, including one of these little Uncharted Supply Zeus gizmos. It's actually a little battery pack, but basically you can jump your truck or your car. It also has a tire inflator air compressor built into it, which has saved my butt a number of times, but that goes in my Yeti Go box. You know, if you're looking to buy a gift for somebody, you can't go wrong with this. Everybody could use one of these. It doesn't really matter what it is that you're into, whether it's rifle hunting, you know, backpacking, archery hunting, you know, even fishing, whatever it is that you're into, somebody would love one of these Yeti Go boxes. So I would check those out. Like I said, they come in three different sizes, a 15, a 30, and a 60. With that, I'm going to run through a couple of things that I'm really excited and looking forward to, guys. There's some new stuff that's coming out. just this last week, earlier in the week, I got a dialed proof sight. I'm really impressed with this thing. I haven't actually had a chance to like really run it through its paces and put a ton of arrows through it, but the ones that I have so far, just in setting it up and playing with it, this thing feels bomb proof. Super tight tolerances. They addressed all the issues. So it has a locking lever. You can lock it completely down. You can leave it partly open, which still allows you to move the entire gang in a pinch, or you can open that thing completely up and move it up and down. The slider portion of it is smooth. It's stiff. I think it'll probably loosen up over time, but it's firm, but it's super smooth. They addressed everything, all the feedback that they got from the original site. They address all of it, and it feels really good. I'm really looking forward to hunting and playing with that site. Also today, excuse me, I'm gonna have to take a drink. Just today, a brand new site was also released from Trueball Excel, which they're calling the Driver. If you liked the Landslide site, I think you're going to like the Driver. It definitely looks interesting. It's got a larger rubber wheel, which is the slider portion of that site. They've also lightened it up. So I'm seeing that thing being below 9 ounces, which I love a lightweight site. They've addressed a bunch of things too in the Landslide that I didn't really like. And then, you know, there may be other sites coming, but man, what a killer year for accessories for archery equipment. If you're looking for a new site, this is an awesome year. You've got some really good options with the dialed, you know, with the UV slider, with, you know, the new Trueball Excel driver. There's some great sites out there. I'm really interested to see what you guys think this year. It hasn't been this wide in a while. It used to be that I liked a few sites, but there was always kind of something that I didn't really love, but I feel like they've mostly worked out the kinks in the armor on all these things. And I think you're going to find some sites this year that you'll really love. Some new arrows. So Victory HLR arrows look really interesting. It's a 204 sized arrow, really lightweight. I'm seeing grains per inches and a 300 spine of like 8.1, and then maybe even like an 8.7 and 8.8 in a 250 spine arrow. It's a tighter weave, so it's a 1.5K carbon weave, so it should be durable, should be a hard-wearing, heavy-duty, hardy arrow, but it's lightweight, so that's going to be interesting to play with. I haven't seen any in hand yet. I've seen some guys doing some reviews on them online and playing with them, but that arrow looks really interesting. I'm also hearing that Easton has got some new arrows coming out. I know guys like Dan Staten have been playing with a new Easton arrow. You know, I've been, you know, relatively loud. I did not like Easton's arrows from this last year. I wasn't a fan of the X10 Parallel Pros. I just didn't think that they were that durable. I thought they were really expensive and I did not have good durability out of those arrows. They were consistent, but I just didn't like the wear and tear I got out of them. I went through a dozen really quick and it wasn't really from even shooting things that I thought were exceptionally, hard or tough. So for me, I'm glad to see that they're coming out with a new arrow. My guess is it's probably a 5mm axis of some kind. But I am interested to see what Easton's got coming out this year. So that's kind of on the radar. There's a bunch of other new stuff. People have been kind of floating. It's one of my favorite times of year as we move into the holidays. People are releasing all their new gear, as well as like all the application seasons that are coming up. And, you know, I love that game that we get to play with applications each spring. It's always fun just to see what you might end up drawing for the next year. And, you know, the plans start again and, you know, you start making all the adjustments to your equipment. You start practicing with it. You start getting in better shape. I love it. I love this time of year. There's some hope in the air, I guess I would say. So that's kind of wrap it up for this week. It's kind of all over the place. My apologies. I'm a little bit out of practice, but as I said, I'm going to get more consistent with it. If you guys got ideas, so this is one thing I struggle with a little bit. I feel like, you know, I do the Big Hunt Guys podcast. I do a bunch of video content. I just feel like I've talked a lot about, you know, archery elk hunting, mule deer hunting, antelope hunting. You know, I feel like maybe I've burned some of those out, but if there are things that you guys are interested in me exploring, don't hesitate. Shoot me an email, drop me a DM. You know, if there's tips and tricks that you're interested in learning about, you know, even if you think it's been covered before, if you think I might have some sort of interesting take or novel take on it, you know, if there's anything that you're thinking of that you think would be a good topic to do on a podcast, reach out to me. I would love to hear what you guys' thoughts are on, you know, topics and things you would like me to cover. And same as guests, you know, if there's guests that you would like to have me have on, if you want to hear me kind of pick somebody's brain, you know, shoot me a list of people that you think would be good podcast guests to have on my podcast here on the Game Trail. So with that, you know, send your feedback. I appreciate you guys listening. I hope you guys have a good week. I'll be back here in maybe a week and a half with another episode. So with that, I'm out.